give you that. We all pray. Now let me ask you another question. Why do we need to pray? Why? Different people will give different answers. If you ask my kids, sometimes they'll say, because my parents make me to pray, they won't let me out. Like, you have to pray. Is that our answer? Hopefully not, right? Let's look at our theme verse, right? It is right there, Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. That is that word, earnestly seeking. Why? Why does God want us to earnestly seek him? So, it is the heart of the Father. Like, when we pray, are we informing God of anything that he doesn't know already? Right? When we bring before him our needs, are we basically, oh God, you missed this. By the way, I'm just letting you know. No. He's an omniscient God. He knows everything already. Right? Are we trying to change his mind? You know that God, you cannot change God's mind. But why does he want us to pray? It is the Father's heart that you have to see here. He wants us to have deep relationship with him. And that is one of the primary reasons why we have to pray or why we pray. When you know our Father's will, when we pray, it is not just, oh Lord, I need this, I need this, I need the other thing, I need this, amen, amen, I'll see you tomorrow. Is that how you pray? How we pray usually shows our level of spiritual maturity, right? We start out like that. We can pray how we can. We initially start out with, Lord, I need this, I need this, I need the other thing. Lord, help me here, help me there, help this other person, amen. But we don't wait to hear from back from our Father. I can relate it to you with my earthly father. He's a godly man, and as I grew, and the conversations that I have with him now are very different from the conversation I had when I was a kid. Now when I call him, like, he wants to share what is going on with the family, what is going on in the church, what are the problems, and he wants me to listen to him. He wants to share his burden with me, right? If that is the case with an earthly father, and even when my kids grow up, right? I want to share my burdens with my kids, right? I want to share when Arpit grows up, when Raika grows up. It is not just, oh, I want this, I want that, I want the other thing. I want to have a deeper relationship with him, with my children. And that's what our Heavenly Father wants from us too, right? And let's look at this next verse that says, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with all your heart. And it says, I will let myself be found by you. Can you imagine the creator of this universe, our Heavenly Father, just basically waiting there and saying that, you have to seek me. I will reveal myself to you. And this was his plan all along when he created Adam and Eve in the beginning, right? I think he almost physically came down to the garden and walked with them. How do I know this? This is from Genesis 3:8, because when they heard the noise, he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, they hid, because it was probably a daily occurrence. The Lord, his creator, came down and walked with his creation. How beautiful is that? And he wants the same thing with us today. And that is prayer, right? We often think of prayer as a chore, as something that we have to do, but it is just a deeper relationship with our Heavenly Father that he is seeking. He wants to reveal himself to us. You know, prayer, we say that prayer helps us make faith decisions. That is what we are looking at. But prayer is a two-sided coin. To pray, you require faith, right? Who are you praying to? Is my prayer just going up to the ceiling and bouncing back down? Who are we praying to? That requires faith. Let us look at a couple of other verses. It says, James 1, 6-8, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. How should a Christian ask? In faith. A prayer has to originate in faith. There are several examples of that throughout history of great men of faith who have asked in faith. But in all this, in both these verses, right? In Mark 9:23-24, to a boy's father who asks to Jesus to heal his son, he says, if you can, please heal my son. And Jesus answered, if you can. He didn't say that it is possible for me to heal your son. He said, all things are possible to one who believes. And then the father said, help me overcome my unbelief. Sometimes it must be that, right? Your prayer must be, Lord, help me overcome my unbelief. That is also fine, right? You just have to come to the Lord as you are and say that, Lord, I want to believe, but help my unbelief. But prayer requires us to go to him with that. There are several stories, like story of, George Mueller, who was a missionary. He ran orphanages. It is a great example. For example, he once had 300 kids and no food, but he put them all on the table and said, pray, give thanks for your food. But he had no food. At that very moment, a milk truck broke down in front of his orphanage. And a baker basically knocked about a few minutes later, telling that, I don't know why, but I had this prompting to bake bread for 300 people yesterday night, and here is the bread, right? And these are actual stories of faith that the Lord has shown. And do you think that they were special people? No, it is not true. They were just men of God who trusted God with all their heart, right? And what was the object of their faith? What was the object of their faith? It was the Lord who has provided. And you can see this is a self-reinforcing cycle, right? Usually when you see problems, you tend to concentrate on the problem and forget what he has done in the past. That is human nature. That is my nature, right? When I see a problem, I see, oh my Lord, this is such a problem. But hasn't the Lord answered you in the past? When you made decisions for him, hasn't he honored you? These all Satan wants us to just forget. And then the next problem is the big problem that you are faced with, and you are completely blinded by God's blinded to God's faithfulness to you in the past. But that's not true. This prayer, when we pray by faith and when we get our prayers answered, it is a self-reinforcing cycle. Haven't you actually had your faith strengthened by answered prayers? I believe all of us have testimonies to answered prayers that have strengthened our faith. Okay, so now let's see. Once we have understood that God wants to have a deeper fellowship with us, let's see how to make this faith decision, right? We are telling that, okay, prayer helps us, but how? Let's read Proverbs 3:5-6. What does it say? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And who makes your path straight? He will make your path straight. That's what it says. I don't know about you, but more often than not, I want to be in control of my own things. Usually it's like that. I pray only when I am at my wit's end. I am like, Lord, I can't do anything. Please help. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you rather be in charge of your own life? Do you think you know better to plan your own life than the Lord Almighty does? I often do. In my arrogance, I say that, Lord, I'll take care of 99% of things. That 1%, please help. That's usually my prayer. But that's not true. The Lord, it just says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And does it say, lean sometimes on your understanding? It says, do not lean on your understanding, and I will make your path straight. When does our faith decision becomes God decision? Ultimately, what we want as a Christian in our life is, what does God want with me in my life? What does He really want me to do? And without talking to that Father, how will you find out? Your Word of God is there, as we heard. The council of elders is there. But there are things in life that are sometimes not in the Word of God explicitly. For that, there is no question. You know what the answer is. There is no need. When I say no need to pray, I mean no need to look at which direction. For example, you don't have to be confused or pray about whether I should lie or not. Right? Do you need to? I hope not. Whether I should cheat somebody, whether I should be unkind to somebody, I don't need to pray about that. You know the answers. But there are some answers which we require prayer. How do we do that? When we pray, when our will becomes the same as our Father's will, then the decisions we make becomes our Father's decisions. That is when He says that, ask anything according to my will, I will give it to you. Right? Sometimes the Christendom has turned prayer into this rub the genie lamp, genie will pop out and grant your wishes. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. It says, if you ask according to my will, I will do it for you. But the main point is that my will, according to Father's will. And that is when we pray according to His will, that we can make faith decisions in prayer. Now you might ask me, okay, I don't hear an audible voice when I pray. How do I know when I pray that this decision I'm going to make is a faith decision? This is what God wants me to do. I have here about two tests that I do. Let's read one verse here. Philippians 4, 6, 7 and Daniel 6, 17. Philippians 4, 6, 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but by everything in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. So what does it say? When you pray, I have seen that the Lord's peace comes upon my heart. When I pray about some decisions, a peace of God, that is what this verse says. It comes upon my heart. What is the second way that I can know? I call Daniel 6:17 open and close doors. What happened in Daniel 6:17? A stone was brought and placed over the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it. And the end says, so that Daniel's situation might not be changed. What did he face there? A definite closed door. Did Daniel know that next day morning it will open up? No, he didn't know that at that point. You might be at a situation where you might feel like God has closed doors. Do you know that is an answer to a prayer? Sometimes God firmly shuts doors that He doesn't want you to walk through. You might bang against your head against that, and you might say that, God, I want this door to be open. He does not answer. There are open doors. Sometimes God opens doors, and you can pray about that. One example is the fleece that Gideon laid, right? He asked the Lord twice, and did the Lord get angry with him? No. He was hiding from his enemy, the Midianites, in a wine press, threshing grain. And he said, let this fleece be wet, the ground be not wet. Then he said, Lord, once more, let the ground be wet, the fleece be not wet. The Lord granted both that request of him when he asked for a sign. God answers prayer like that. This is one of the practical ways that I have seen that God opens and closes doors. I can give you an example recently when my previous job basically was very hectic, was basically draining me dry. And I prayed about it. I said, Lord, I would like a little more flexibility in my job and a little more balance in my work. I prayed about it and God opened doors. Right? This is my testimony recently, that God opened a door for a different job which is busy, but at least my weekends are not gone. Like, Lord can answer prayers in wonderful ways. Let us look at, now you tell me, you say, okay, you gave me these two things. What if I pray and I don't have peace in my heart? Right? What if there is no explicit open or shut door that I see before me? It is still unclear for me, but I need to make a decision. I need to make a decision tomorrow. Right? This is for something that you can ask counsel, as Sylvan has mentioned, you can go and ask counsel, but I don't have time. I need to make a decision. Right? The word of the Lord says, trust in the Lord. Trust in Almighty God that if you make that decision, which is according to His word, which is not against His word or not against His counsel, and you make that decision in faith, trust in the Lord Almighty. Do you think the Lord is, His hand is short that He can't do something about it? Absolutely not. He says, now to whom who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask, according to the power, to Him be the glory. And Jeremiah 32:27 says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. He is asking me, it's kind of a sarcasm from the Lord, if you ask, is anything too hard for me? Do you trust that word of God? Do you trust that when you don't have an explicit peace or an open closed doors, that when you make a decision that the Lord will work it out for you? That is how you have to take a peace. And in the end, I want to encourage everyone, make prayer a part of your daily life as you talk to the Lord, as you talk to another human being, your spouse, your children. How much more of a closer friend He is, right? And, you know, everyday life, if I give it to Him, what more can I ask for? Like, I tell Him, my Father, I am coming to You. This is my problem. Here it is. And I wait to hear from the Lord. And the Lord prompts me through His people, through His word, through the Holy Spirit. He will prompt me on the right decision to take. So at the end, I just want to encourage every one of us. God love wants to have a deeper relationship with you. Pray with faith. That helps, reinforces your faith and helps you make faith decisions. And these are the practical ways that you can make a decision by faith. And let the Lord help all of us. And this is primarily a message to myself, because I usually think that, okay, I'll pray when I am at my wit's end. That 1% I need Lord's help. No, for the entire 100% I need the Lord's help. To make decisions in my life, be it big or small. Don't wait for the big decisions to come and say that, oh Lord, then I will pray. No, make it the small decisions. Do you think the Lord is not interested in the small things that you do? Absolutely not. He is willing and there for you to make the big and small decisions. Let us come before Him in prayer and say that, the Lord, You are my Father. You're my Father who is very concerned about me. But he loves me more than anything, more than that. It is unconditional, like we heard today's opening and breaking of bread. We don't have to do anything special for that. He loves us already. Let us pray. Lord, we come before You, Father. Any decisions that we have to make, Lord, let it be a decision that You would have made, Lord. Help us to talk with You. Help us to have a deeper relationship with You. Help us to consider prayer as not a chore, but something that we talk to our Father to, Lord. This week we commit, Lord. In Your name we pray.